Yes, friends, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. Broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, the Overstreet Price Guide Advisor Guy.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Guy. And as always, Chris and I bring it every week, informing you, the listener, on everything you need to know about comic book popular culture.
Everything.
That's pretty well the best disclaimer you could say.
Everything. Everything that you need to know about.
And
we're going to decide what that is.
Right. We're dispensing liberally, though, so never fear.
Never fear, Chris and Walt are here.
And Chris and Walt are going to start the show just not to rock the boat. Don't rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
And we're going to start with new this week.
We need a sponsor.
Yeah, new this week is brought to you by the Authentic. Authentic Club Soda, Saint-Rémy.
Saint-Rémy Club Soda.
It is the VSOP, the very special old club soda.
Very special old club soda.
That's good.
Listen, let's just dive right in here. We're going to talk about some Spider-Man comics right away. We're going to talk about Typhoid Fever Spider-Man. Now this is Typhoid Mary is making a bit of a comeback in the comic books these days.
She was, Chris, a pretty hot commodity when she came out. Oh my goodness, Chris, you know I'm going to ask.
What's that? Yeah, I know what you're going to ask, and I do not know the answer. Do you know the answer?
What was the first appearance of Typhoid Mary?
I'm going to guess a Daredevil comic.
Very good.
I'm going to guess it was, say, 273.
Excellent. 254.
Close.
You're right in the ballpark, right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
She came out like gangbusters. She was popular right away.
Yeah.
The book was collectible right away.
Totally.
But that character seems like it underperformed since she came out.
You know what? And I think I'm going to put that on to the writers, because you know what? It's a great character. If I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure Ann Nocenti was the writer of that. And that was around the same time. Well, you know, I don't know if she was doing the writer of the creation of that character, but I do know that she wrote some of the best Daredevil comics with that character. And that was actually, believe it or not, that was also with John Romita Jr. And I think Al Williamson was doing the inking on that.
Right.
That was just, it was a great book all the way around. Some awesome co-stars. I remember there was an issue there that had Silver Surfer and Mephisto was in it. Awesome, great storyline with Daredevil. Of course, poisonous person, that Typhoid Mary. And of course, she's coming back here in a big way. She's you know, there's rumors of her coming back in the comics, or I guess she's already back in the comics, but making appearances, of course, in certain TV shows. I don't want to say which ones, but yeah, because it's I don't want, a bit of a spoiler there. But anyways, Typhoid Fever Spider-Man on your newsstand today. Oh, sorry.
Chris, if you do that, what am I going to do?
Oh, sorry. There you go. Well, can you do that?
Right. Hey, I was trying to be you. see what I did
there. Yeah.
Hey, Typhoid Fever Spider-Man number one is at your local comic book shop.
Perfect. All right. Next up, we have, you know, it's funny. Marvel is, I have a love-hate relationship with Marvel.
With Marvel?
Sometimes I hate what they're doing, and then sometimes I love it. Right now, I'm liking it because they're bringing back...
Wait. You're loving it. You're not liking it.
Okay, I don't really love it. Okay. I have a like-hate relationship with
Marvel. It's a like... don't like so much relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not really love hate. It's like and not like so much.
Not like so much.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right now I'm liking it, and I'm liking the fact that they're bringing back What If titles. The only thing I don't like about it, see, this is why it's just a like and not a love. Back in the day, they brought out the What If series, and they were sort of alternate reality series comics, and it was an ongoing series.
Uh-huh.
This one, however, though, is they brought out, like, they're going to bring out, like, 5 What If comics in 1 month. So it's, like, a big push for What If.
Right.
And then, you know, you're done. And this one is What If Flash Thompson Became Spider-Man.
I would not have liked it.
Well, no. Who would have? Uh-huh. It wouldn't have worked because we got to have our old pal Peter Parker as Spider-Man. But so this is a big Flash Thompson. So what they do is they go back and they look at who the character of Flash Thompson is, and of course he was always Peter Parker's on again, off again nemesis in the early years of Amazing Spider-Man. And I don't want to say nemesis.
Chris, do you think?
But yeah,
do you think? Because of course. We're jesting when we say I wouldn't have liked it because we wouldn't have known Peter Parker.
Of course not.
But do you think over the pantheon, that's the wrong word,
pantheon.
A time of comic books, do you think that there were part of the reason books failed or succeeded and characters failed or succeeded, there was not enough. I'm going to use words that don't make sense and don't belong.
Okay, go for it.
But there wasn't the right juxtaposition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Between the alter ego and the superhero. So what I'm trying to ask is would it have been possible for, let's say, like the Fly, or let's say, like, I don't know what other character that didn't work.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't work because we weren't jiving with the alter ego and the hero.
Right.
And maybe Spider-Man, the ones that really, really worked, would not have worked had a Flash Thompson.
I totally agree.
Like,
I
is
totally
it just
agree.
Like an accident, accidental ingredients that make gold?
Well, I think
like
that
alchemy.
I think that there's. I mean, all good writing for all good juxtaposed characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's always. You don't want to have a guy that's that's already popular with the ladies, that's already a popular character like Flash Thompson.
Uh-huh.
He was already kind of the cool guy, become an even cooler guy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, nobody can relate to that.
Right.
So you want to have dweeb.
Yeah. Yeah, Spidey worked with the college kids back in the 60s because they were insecure, they were poor, they couldn't get girls, all that kind of stuff.
Right. So, and then you got, a myriad of different characters we can talk about here. Clark Kent as Superman, Bruce.
But that worked. Those obviously worked.
That's what I'm saying. But the aloof Bruce Wayne becomes the dark and brooding Batman. You know, there's all kinds of these juxtaposed
characters.
The dark
and brooding exhibitionist.
We'll get to that in a second.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's a great point. I think part of the having a good character is having a good alter ego.
Fair enough. Hey, what if you walked into your comic shop today and checked out What If number one?
I like it. Next up, we've got Justice League number 9. Justice League is now currently being written by Scott Snyder with Jorge Jimenez.
Jorge!
I'm pretty sure it's... it could be George. George, I'm not really too sure, but it's spelled with a J, so I'm assuming it's Jorge, but it could be wrong.
It is Jorge.
But anyways, it's a lot of people are loving this new Justice League comic. And for good reason, it has a strong, core roster of characters, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, all those great characters. So why not? And it's written
Superman
by Scott Snyder.
Superman and Green Lantern, baby.
They got nothing
Justice
on me.
League.
Sorry.
Number 9, which is at your local comic book shop. Hey, and it's in the deepest space.
In the deepest space.
Right on.
All right.
Oh, I'm done.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to say something else there. Next up, we have another DC comic, but this one DC is now currently teaming up with IDW, and they're publishing a... Do you remember way back in the day, there was a comic book called The Max?
I do.
Written and drawn by Sam Keith. I believe it was an Image title, and it actually had its own animated series for a little while.
Had a really good cult following. People that liked The Max really liked The Max.
Exactly. Well, The Max is back with Batman, and it's a Batman The Max team up, as you will, if you want to call it that. And so it's all written and drawn by Sam Keith. The art is awesome if you like that style of art. And
right.
Not a lot of people do.
Sam Keith is an acquired taste, that's for sure.
It is, for sure. But I think it's interesting. I don't know if it's not really necessarily my taste, but you can tell it's good.
Right.
I just don't really like it.
Right. So let me ask you a question there.
Ask me.
IDW got The Max and DC has Batman. How is it beneficial for DC to cross over with The Max? because the Max is getting all the exposure here.
Like, totally.
It's a one-sided trade.
Well, yeah, you're right.
I'm wondering what IDW has to give concessions-wise to DC. Like, you know, for Batman fans, maybe they like to see the crossover. Maybe it's worth it for them, for DC side. But I'm thinking this is, like, so skewed to... you know,
but maybe IDW is planning a Max series, and maybe this is their way of sort of reintroducing the character. So even if they're not getting a whole lot, you know,
so they're paying up type of thing.
They're paying up kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, obviously Batman is not going to get a whole. DC's not going to get a whole lot out of this.
Yeah, and DC for sure wasn't going on knocking on IDW's door. I would imagine they weren't.
I would.
Hey, we want to do a miniseries.
You know,
with the Max.
Listen here, JB.
Look here, JB.
You know what we're dying to do?
Where's that Keith kid?
Yeah, exactly.
And that other kid, that Sam kid.
That's Sam. Where's Keith and Sam?
Where's Keith and Sam? I want to talk to them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, listen. Go into your local comic book shop. Check out Batman, the Max, Arkham Dreams.
Perfect. All right. Next up, you know, you're a man of the 70s.
I am.
Well, you probably remember Battlestar Galactica.
I do.
Well, there's a new Battlestar Galactica comic.
Fleeing from the Cylon tyranny. I was doing my Lauren Green.
That was good. I like that. That was good. That was good. So we've got a Battlestar Galactica. Now, this is the retro Battlestar Galactica, not the new one that people are familiar with.
Yeah, I had a real
crush
on the young lady that played...
was that Wilma Deering? Was that the right one? Was that the right character? I don't know who I'm talking about.
Wasn't it something Jennifer Grey or something like that?
Oh, well, that was the... I was confused Battlestar Galactica with Buck Rogers. No, Buck Rogers.
Yeah, all three of those shows had an attractive young lady. For all the boys watching the TV show, I was enamored with the young lady in Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
Very, very lovely gal. Great character, too.
Great character. Great character.
And that was fun. I liked the series.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
And they're coming up with a new...
They got a new
comic. It's those guys?
Yep. Yeah.
Those
it's Starbuck, the original Cylons,
yeah.
You know, all those characters all back in their own comic book now. So, yeah, it's Battlestar Galactica.
Was it Aaron Gray?
Aaron Gray, yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Was Aaron Gray in Buck Rogers, though?
Might have been Buck Rogers.
I'm going to have to Google that here. Hold on.
All right. Battlestar Galactica. Hey, is that really 35 cents, Chris?
I don't think so. It might be. Maybe. I don't know.
It's a 35-cent cover.
Oh, it could be then. You never know.
And that is from Dynamite. Comics Group. It's rated Teen Plus, so...
Ooh,
don't send your little kitties in to read that one.
Plus.
Because you never know what you're going to find inside one of these adult-themed comics.
we'll get to that in a second.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
All right, so check that out at your local comic book shop. Chris, we can Google that later. Now,
right.
Chris...
Yep.
Chris has one more.
I got one more. Right. We haven't done a real kids book in a little while here. Mm-hmm. So.
Is that one by Art Balthazar?
No, it's not by my good friend Art Balthazar.
Uh-huh.
So this is Rainbow Bright.
Oh.
Rainbow Bright by Jeremy Whitley.
Brittany
Williams.
Starlight, Star Bright.
Well, that's a
totally
poem.
Different?
That's, yeah. This is Rainbow Bright is a character.
Keep going there. You're doing a good job.
Thanks. So Rainbow Bright is a character. You know, she had her own toy line, her own series. And, you know, like every cartoon of that time, they had, little comical character relief type characters.
Hey, was Rainbow Bright the one with the oven? You know where the little girl was.
I think you're thinking of Strawberry Shortcake. This is different.
She had a little oven.
Because they could make their. Well, that was also the Easy Bake Oven.
Easy Bake Oven. That's what it is. Well, so wasn't the Rainbow Bright Oven?
No, there's no such thing as a Rainbow Bright Oven.
Okay, it's good.
That I'm aware of.
It's good.
There could be.
You and I are doing some public service right
well,
now.
Well, you know,
maybe other people were thinking the same thing I was.
I don't know if people are going to be more. Surprised at how little you know about Rainbow Bright, or how about how much I know about Rainbow Bright.
I think the latter is scarier.
Yeah,
I
think you're true. I think you're very right there. Anyways, it's an all ages comic from Dynamite.
Dynamite. That's a lovely. That's a good looking book here, Chris.
That's a good looking book.
And that's Rainbow Bright number one. That's at your local comic book shop, as are so many more great comics coming out this week. So. Duck on in to your local comic book shop and check everything out.
Duck on in. Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the comic book industry and the world of comics. And Walt may even surprise you with some little tidbits that he knows about this, that, or the other thing. But first, we're going to have some music here.
Stuff, Chris.
Do you like that?
I like the direction this show is going with these soundtracks or whatever the heck you got. I like it. Where are you getting this stuff from?
I get it from
I get it from my dad.
My own head. But anyways, mm-hmm. This one was the opening soundtrack to the Flash TV series.
Nice.
And the first one that we played from the opening of the show was the original Batman the Animated Series opening theme song.
Right on. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Takes us to industry news, Chris. Great segue as always. And industry news brought to us by, again, the great world-renowned French club soda, Saint-Rémy. If you're
Saint-Rémy.
Ever in France,
yes,
and you feel the urge for a bit of bubbly,
yeah,
we recommend the Saint-Rémy region.
Where
the Château-Rémy.
Would you happen to know where the Château-Rémy is?
That's right near the Château Canada Club.
Chateau Champagne?
The Chateau Champagne Maison, the Boisson.
Right. All right,
yeah. Thanks for calling me out on that one, Chris. hey, Chris, let's talk about what everybody's talking about right now. Let's continue to talk about Batman. Damn. Yeah, so news was out last couple of days that the much-anticipated number two and number three. I'm not going to even say much anticipated because of the Batman penis whole thing.
Right.
Because that happened. But I think it was issues two and three were much anticipated because of this dark adult direction.
Right.
So what else do they got up their sleeve?
If they're going to show Batman's naked penis.
That's right. What else are they going to give us during this miniseries? Well, we're reading that issues number two and three are delayed.
Yep.
And if I read it correctly, it's because probably reading between the tea leaves there, it's they're probably going to go back and make some changes.
I think so. I think the public reaction to a little bit of bat nudity was highly negative.
Right.
So I think they're probably going back and tinkering with the fact that the number two and three are going to be coming out, and so they're probably going to be censoring it a little bit. To maybe dematurify it a little
bit. Right, well, because it's the only way I read it. It reads like this, exactly. DC Entertainment has delayed the release of the upcoming issues for its Black Label series, Batman Damned.
Yeah.
The announcement comes after the public reaction to the use of nudity in the series' first issue. Despite the mature readers' warning, there was negative feedback, and DC promised altered content for future versions. Isn't that a sellout?
Absolutely. Well, I think so. And you know what's interesting is I don't want to dive into this too much because we're going to be talking about a little bit about you can talk about cultural issues here. If that same Batman book, and I'm just wondering, and I think I'm right. I could be wrong.
Uh-huh.
If that same Batman book, instead of having a naked penis in it, if it had a severed head,
Mm-hmm.
So if it was highly graphic instead of highly you know, highly nudity,
right?
Would there have been the same kind of outrage? And I'm going to guess probably not.
Probably not.
Right? Yeah. I think
there's a hang up around nudity,
right?
But not a hang up around gratuitous violence.
Exactly.
And yeah. So and you know and one. Yeah, you're right. Like it's and to most people, I think if you I think if you ask most people, they think one does less harm than the other.
Totally.
And it would be the nudity.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Well, if you look at, I mean, you and I are seasoned comic book guys, and we've seen comics, a lot of comics from around the world.
Yeah.
Primarily from Europe.
Yeah.
And
those ones you get the subscriptions to. I like that. You let me see them every now and then because I appreciate that.
Yeah, don't you worry. I'd like them back. Yeah,
I will give them back. Yeah, I swear. I swear they're coming back to you.
But yeah, there's a lot more nudity in those books and not nearly as much violence. I think in Europe there's a tendency to be skewing the other way, where violence is more looked upon as being a hazard, if you will, in comic books as opposed to nudity.
Right. Now, Chris.
Yep.
Because we're talking about the severed heads, we're talking about this. Now, how far along past the comics code are we? 10 years now?
Oh, no, more than that, isn't it? Wasn't it like 2002 or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah. It's like 20 years almost.
So almost 20 years. 20 years. 15 years.
But it ruled the roost almost for 50 years.
Right.
For almost 50 years. From the 55 to maybe 05. Yep. Roughly like that, right? My point is this.
What's your point, Walt?
It is easy just to sit there and draw a big, fat, juicy sandwich in Batman's one hand, and his manhood in his other.
Absolutely,
that's so easy.
Yeah, it's so easy.
But what's hard?
What is hard?
I'm going to tell you what's hard.
Tell me what's hard, Walt.
It's to hide the penis.
Oh, so true. So
you
true.
And I to toot our own horn. Yeah. We had something back on Comic Book Daily.
We did
a few years ago.
Yeah,
and we called it Sleepy Censors.
That's right. Yes.
And if you go on to Comic Book Daily and just in the search bar, just hit Sleepy Censors, they should all come up. And so what Chris and I, through the internet and through guys telling us, hey, about this book, how about that book, there was a lot of subversive artists trying to sneak one past the censor by hidden swear words, hidden penises.
Not even hidden swear words, but hidden words.
Hidden words, innuendo. Yeah.
Sort of, there's some, almost subliminal messages, but not quite subliminal.
Well, one of the most famous ones, and we covered it on Sleepy Censors, was Rifleman number 10.
Right.
Right? And everybody calls it the wood or the woody cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so there's Chuck Connors proudly looking down at a huge log that the kid is holding right where the area where his
just
jutting
to be.
Groin should be, right?
Exactly,
And of course, that book, because the comic book collecting community are a bunch of pervs, I'm telling
you.
That book gets, I'm going to say, 50 times the value of Rifleman number 11 or number 9.
Right. Because really,
that's the only reason to collect.
There's not a whole lot of people that are collecting the Rifleman comics.
Yeah, and when they're buying number 10, they're not buying it for the Rifleman.
They are not. No.
They are buying it for that cover.
That's right.
There are covers with, forget, there was that.
Well, there's that one X-Men comic where in every single page, the word sex was somehow hidden in the comic.
Right.
So there's that one. There was that famous issue of Kazar where they wrote the word, the F word.
F word on the bottom left.
In the grass. So there's lots of examples there where artists who are sort of, I don't know, maybe they get a little disgruntled with their employer or whatever,
yeah. And they say, hey, you know, I feel mischievous today.
Right.
I have had a little bit of too much club soda.
Exactly.
At the drawing board. I think I'll mess around a little bit. But you know what I think? I think the same thing with this Damned. I think that's fantastic. I think if it injects a little bit of conversation into the collective comic book community and a little bit of excitement into the collective comic book community, then I'm all for it. As long as nobody's getting hurt.
Well, but
as long as nobody's being demeaned.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm fine. Here's the thing.
Here's what I'm confused about.
Uh-huh.
You've read Watchmen.
Yes, I have.
Okay. So in the pages of Watchmen, there's a character, Dr. Manhattan.
That's right.
He's naked throughout the entire series.
Yes.
Blue.
Yes.
Blue and naked.
Yeah.
But you do see blue, naked Dr. Manhattan penis.
Were his testicles blue as well?
I believe so.
Poor guy.
I didn't really take that close of a look.
Right. Okay.
But naked penis throughout the whole series. Nobody
who's,
cared.
Who's Dr. Manhattan?
This is my point. Right?
Yeah.
So
he's not our beloved Batman.
Right.
He's not our beloved Bruce Wayne.
So, but why should it matter? Really, why should it matter? Should it matter because Batman is meant to be, we still have the stereotype that Batman is a kid's comic?
Well, no, it's not that it's a kid's comic, but it's crossing a line.
Is it though?
Yeah, it is.
How so? Why?
Well, I'm going to tell you if you just stop interrupting.
Okay, tell me.
All right.
I'm waiting for it.
Batman has been around since 39, going to be 80 years in a couple of months, you know?
Right.
May. I'll be 80 years next May. And for 79 of those years,
yeah, right,
Batman has remained with his clothes on.
Right.
So to speak.
Right.
Right. So there is an unwritten contract between society and the manufacturers of Batman to stay within the norms of civic discord. I don't know. I'm using wrong words.
So,
but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, the gloves are off. Well, so is the underwear.
Right.
It's off too. Yeah. So now where is this taking us?
So you're saying there's been sort of an unwritten agreement between society and the purveyors of Batman.
Right.
That we're not meant to see his...
Yeah. Well, listen, let's keep this within certain boundaries and margins.
Right. All right.
And that we'll buy your product. You keep it within there.
Right. Know? But I can come up with a completely different character published by the same company.
Right.
And have his blue.
No problem.
Yeah.
Because right. that character was introduced that way and that character, whatever. But now, important point for my argument's sake, I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying that I think that that's what's happening.
Okay. I believe you.
You know, will this take us to different type of Batman stories? You know, will leaving the comic book floppy format and going to a more of a magazine-y type format work for the Batman? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I for one, never read Conan the Barbarian.
Right.
But I read Savage Sword every month.
Right.
You know?
Right. And Savage Sword was a little bit more adult.
Oh, yeah.
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 Much more graphic, much more everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So... Will this transfer the same way?
So, I mean, I guess it's the subject matter too. I mean, you expect a book like Savage Sword of Conan to have, they're barbarians. They're half they're half naked all the time, anyways. Right.
Right? Yes.
I guess we would all feel the same way if it was Superman, or I don't know.
Spider-Man,
yeah. Captain America. Mm-hmm. But would we feel the same way if we saw Wonder Woman's breasts?
No, we wouldn't.
No, you don't think that?
No,
you don't think there'd be outcry?
We wouldn't feel the same outrage because I don't think we still justify the sexualization of females, I think, more.
Right.
Comics... As long as I guess comics are predominantly read by males,
yep.
we'll justify a female form.
I guess, but I mean, you know, I'm sure that there's been, people censorship in the past
right.
of the character.
Like in language, it's the same thing. They
right.
can't do it.
Right,
it's the same thing.
Right.
But I'm saying the outcry might not. The outcry might come from different circles.
Right.
The outcry might come from saying, "Hey, that's not fair. That's one-sided. But, you can't do that to girls and not do it to boys."
Or
right?
would the outcry be, "Well, why can't they be naked?"
No, I'm sure there'll be multiple outcries.
Right.
There will be multiple outcries. Like, what the heck's wrong with that? But
yeah.
there will be one outcry as well. Why don't you get the guys naked then?
Totally.
Right.
Yep.
And it's a valid outcry.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
But I'm just saying from, I think, my own personal opinion from a comic book reader standpoint, I don't think as much of a stink would be raised if Wonder Woman went topless as Batman went bottomless.
You might be right. You might be right. Yeah,
well, you never know. You never
but,
know.
But interestingly
the
enough,
times
though,
they are changing.
Batman the Damned number 2 and 3 is now going to be delayed, and we're thinking we do not have proof of this. We're thinking that they will probably in the process of re-looking at the book and re-evaluating the book.
Tucking it back in.
That's right.
What they're going to be doing. Yeah. Hey, Chris, do we have time before a break? I wanted to quickly talk about the very, very exciting New York Comic Con.
Yeah, let's talk about
that's
that.
What's going on?
Let's talk about that.
On an aside.
Yeah.
I wanted to go in to do, you know how you hit me with the animals last week?
Yes.
And
yes.
I was just like, Joe Stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing
yeah,
from nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go, I'm going to hit you
back.
Oh,
boy. Here we go. Okay.
But no. It was a non-issue because I couldn't come up with it.
Oh, phew, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So I go, you know what? He got me with animals and pets.
Yep.
I'm going to hit him with butlers.
Butlers, I like
it. And then I started making a list of butlers.
And I stopped at two.
And then I looked online.
Yeah.
And I still came up with only two.
Can I guess which two?
Yes, go ahead.
Jarvis.
Yes.
And Alfred.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow, that was a real tough quiz you got.
Oh, man, you are good at this,
right?
Boy. You are good at this.
I know.
Yeah, and then they're giving me other ones like Max from Heart to Heart and and Benson from Soap.
Oh, nice, yeah. Nice.
And Riff Raff from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah, I guess he was. And, you know, if you had quizzed me on those, I think I would have got those.
Oh, yeah, but they weren't superhero.
Yeah,
like, they weren't comic book ones.
Yeah,
so, but they,
I still feel like I would have got them.
Fair enough. You got 5 out of 5, as long as that makes you happy. Yeah.
I like being good, perfect.
Right.
It's the only time I am.
So I got a buddy. A couple buddies, they're heading down, a bunch of buddies actually, heading down to the New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
You and I won't be going this year.
No,
I know we were invited to do a live show.
Live podcast.
On the Saturday, but we couldn't.
But unfortunately, you're getting that award this weekend.
I am,
yeah.
And you're going camping.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, yeah. I bring you up and you just bring me down.
Right down. So I was looking at the guest list, right?
Right.
Okay, because Comic Cons are realized.
Yep.
They grow every year, but they're growing at 5%,
yep,
whatever, you know, 2%, whatever. New York Comic Con is not going to be a 300,000 attended Comic Con because they can't fit that many people in the Javits Center.
That's right.
Unless they can figure out a way to have the whole quadrant of the city participate, you know, much like they do in film festivals,
right,
where there's
right.
different houses
all over
and
the
stuff.
Place,
right.
Yeah.
It's still a concentrated venue. Now, they are spilling over already into theaters and stuff nearby.
Yes.
For panels,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking at the guest list, and I don't want to say I was underwhelmed.
Okay.
But I was underwhelmed.
Oh, well, you just said it.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so, why are you saying this? Like, who's on the guest list?
Todd McFarlane's on the guest list.
What? That's a big name.
Mark Ruffalo is on the guest
list.
That's
a huge name.
Terry Hatcher.
She's kind of a big name. Yeah.
Jason Momoa.
That's huge. He's Aquaman.
Yeah, but he was at Windsor or something like that, or whatever.
Yeah, but he's still a big name. He's okay. Mr. Game of Thrones. And
my favorite, one I would go see, is Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever want to feel stupid... Just go talk to that guy for a few
minutes.
Listen
to this show and then, I mean...
And then go talk to Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. So, but I'm thinking, okay, then I got to think.
Okay, well,
right?
Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's become somewhat of a...
He's a pop culture icon.
Hot household name,
he's a pop culture icon. He's a brilliant scientist,
yep,
but he can break it down. He's a great orator.
Yep.
And he's got great TV presence and chemistry.
And he was on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, and he... you know, and he's like pop culture property right now.
Yep.
So he's going to be there. So I thought, all right, well, you're not impressed with this list. What list would you be impressed with?
Oh, that's good. That's a good question.
Yeah. So I'm asking you, what list, who like belongs at a Comic-Con that doesn't go to a Comic-Con? At the New York Comic-Con this year, who should be there?
Okay.
Obviously Stan Lee, but he's of ill health.
Right. Now, okay.
I think he's the number one Comic-Con guest.
All the time.
Right.
Ever.
100%. Uh-huh.
Now, are you asking for movie and TV celebrities?
Popular culture, as long as there's a connection to superheroes,
okay,
or not even superhero, like Archie, or you know what I mean?
Okay,
like comic book culture.
Okay.
You can't get I don't know.
But I mean, what could you get? Like, I'm gonna say, I don't know, Ben Affleck.
Of course, you can get Ben Affleck, so, because Ben Affleck, that would be perfect. Yeah, Ben Affleck should be there.
Yeah, Ben Affleck.
But you couldn't get, let's say, you know, who wouldn't qualify? Like Brad Pitt.
Right.
Because he's not done nothing in the genre.
Right.
Right. Right. Or any kind of genre.
Well, he's done a little bit, but very, very minimal.
Okay.
He was he had like 8 seconds worth of time in the recent Deadpool movie.
Oh. Okay, now Brad Pitt has to be there.
And, but eight seconds. I didn't even know that. And it was a cameo, and he wasn't even credited, but he was in it.
Oh.
You know, he was paid a cup of coffee for it.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ryan Reynolds.
What was he? What did he do in the movie?
So Ryan Reynolds.
Was it like a Stan Lee type of appearance?
Kinda. He played a character called the Vanisher. Uh-huh. So for half of the movie, we didn't see who he was until, I don't want to give the movie away, but there's a scene where something happens. And
spoiler alert. Beep, 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 beep.
You end up seeing him, and it turns out that it's Brad Pitt.
Right.
The rumor has it that I guess Ryan Reynolds asked him to be in it,
uh-huh.
and he said he'd do it for a coffee, and he wasn't too sure if he meant like a whole coffee franchise or just a cup.
Right.
And turned out it was just a cup. Came in, did the scene for like 8 seconds, and then that was it.
So, right on. That is very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. I mean, we're going for A-list actors, you know, George Clooney's and type like that. Yep, I don't even know if he belongs in it.
Well, he was Batman.
Oh, yeah. So, George Clooney should be there.
George Clooney should be there.
I like Jeff Goldblum. I think he belongs at cons. Yeah, he's been to a couple cons.
Yeah, and he's a guy that would probably love being there. And I don't know
the
guy.
He's the quintessential professor on Gilligan's Island.
Right. Yeah.
He is that guy. Yeah. He's the scientist.
Yep. Yeah.
Kind of the bumbling kind of.
Yep,
but harmless, good intentioned.
But he was great in what do you call it?
The Fly.
He was great in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic.
And he was also recently in not just the original, but also the most recent Jurassic Park film.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, he's, and why not?
He's fantastic. Yeah. He's fantastic. Anybody else? Like who?
Well, you know.
Like, you know what I'd like to see?
You know who should be going to these shows? People like Linda Carter.
Right.
Linda Carter should be there. Quintessential Wonder Woman.
She would be just mobbed.
Yeah, just absolutely mobbed. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So she should be there.
I don't know if it's a touchy subject, but is Jill Gerard still alive?
I don't know. Right. I don't know if he still is or not.
Because he should be going.
If he's not, he should be going.
No.
You know, and all those people for sure from those 70s TV shows should be going. you know, and or if not even 60s, but and why not like, you know, I don't know, like what's his name, the guy that played the original Batman, not the original, but the 80s Tim Burton Batman. What's that?
Michael Keaton. Actually, he would be the perfect guest when you think about it, because he was the guy that made that Birdman thing that was the anti-superhero movie.
Right.
Like the anti-superhero movie.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, you idiots, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
And then later, then he becomes a vulture.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
And then he's like, so he basically, how could I say this? So superhero movies were coming on strong, 2008, 9, 10, 11. And he comes out on a soapbox and says, this is useless filter carb, to use a Battlestar Galactica analogy. or is filter carb Star Wars?
I must be Battlestar, because I don't remember that in Star Wars.
Useless filter carb. So he's basically was saying, this is not going to last.
Right.
And then he basically is totally wrong, because not only did it last, it got better.
And he was in one.
And then he was in one because it's the best thing ever.
Right,
right?
Exactly.
And so it's like, oh my God, don't judge you doofus, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But so he would be great. He would be like
totally
eating crow just by going there, you know?
Yeah, why not? And why not?
And I like, you know who else I like? I don't care. To me, absolute A-lister, top five on any Comic-Con is still Mr. Shatner.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree.
You cannot get bigger in terms of the popular culture than, you know, Captain Kirk.
For sure. So, for sure.
So.
Yeah, right. I totally agree. And, but, you know, why not have even, you know, and I'm sure she's done them before, but, you know, like, like why not like what's her name now? Like Lucy Lawless, who was Xena,
yeah.
Or
she
even
was
more
in,
more
she was
recent,
at Fan Expo. I believe.
She was at Fan Expo, yeah. But you know why not have Gal Gadot, who was the current Wonder Woman?
Right,
she should be going to these things.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's, I think there was a time when you thought that these actors and performers were sort of. They were put so high on a pedestal, you couldn't possibly...
Right, but now they're going.
But now they're going to these things, right?
Yeah. So, you know who else? Because she starred in a Wonder Woman parody around 89, is that Christy Canyon. That was a wonderful movie. That was a great movie.
I can't say as I've seen that one, but listen, you know what? You can lend me your copy of that movie anytime you want. Mm-hmm. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. Walt's going to keep on talking while I get things going here.
Oh, absolutely, Chris. What I'd like to do is do a little public service announcement that we are on 93.3 CFMU. McMaster's award-winning radio station, thanks to us. We're always podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. We encourage you guys to go and hit some comments on the comments field, please.
All right. And here's a little ditty about Aquaman.
Chris, wonderful stuff. Where's that from?
That's from
The Dirty Dozen.
The Dirty, yeah, sure. It's from a Justice League movie.
It's a Justice League movie. Wonderful.
From one of the Justice League. I think it was from one of the cartoons.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right. We're continuing with industry news, and we continue to be sponsored today by Saint Remy Club Soda. It's the club soda. It's Chris's favorite club soda today.
It is. Ask me tomorrow. I might have a new
you
one.
You never know.
You never know.
Right. Right, finicky. So am I, Chris. So am I. I'm finicky about
your comics.
Wanting to talk a little bit more about comics.
Yeah, right.
I got one more thing. That was the worst segue I've ever done. Might have been the worst segue I've ever done.
We did have a small issue there temporarily. So
we did.
We may have got cut off or something.
Hey, but you know what? Chris, New York Comic Con, the world's biggest Comic Con.
Yep.
Okay. What? There's so much to do at a Comic-Con.
So much to do at a
Chris, you are a veteran of Comic-Cons.
As
there
you are
so
as well.
There are so many different Comic-Con experiences.
Yes.
What I want you to explain.
Explain.
In like 2 minutes, three.
Yeah.
What's the perfect day for you at a Comic-Con?
Oh, yeah. That's a great question.
Yes.
First of all, one day isn't nearly enough.
That's what I was going to get to. Let's say you had it. If you can get it all in.
Get it all in one
okay,
day.
Okay. What's the perfect Comic-Con experience at a hotel or something like that. Two days.
Perfect Comic-Con experience.
Uh-huh.
I'll call it an experience.
Okay.
So, you know, you want to get to the con at, uh-huh. at a decent time.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a good breakfast.
All right.
But make sure you get to the con at a good time.
Got lots of energy.
Yeah. In a perfect world,
yeah.
I want to know who all the artists are that I am interested in seeing.
Right.
You want to get there as soon as possible because when you're starting to get signatures or commissions or anything, they're going to get signed and filled up really quickly.
So you want to get to them early you're on their list. You're the sixth drawing on their list that weekend.
Exactly.
So you'll get to take it home that weekend.
Exactly. Right. That's right.
I get it.
So you want to get to the artists quickly. So in a perfect world, I would go to the artists quickly. If I knew who they were ahead of time, I would be able to scope out exactly which ones I want to go to quickly.
Uh-huh.
If not, I just roam around and check them all out. But that's the first thing I do.
Okay, so you walk in, you find the artist you like.
Yep.
You walk up, you make the deal. Hey, give me this commission for this. And then you walk away happy, knowing that you can pick it up later tonight or
exactly.
tomorrow.
And you know what? And if nothing, and that, if you get nothing else, uh-huh. you know you're coming home with a nice piece
of
artwork.
Nice piece of art.
Yeah.
Where do you go after that?
So then I'm going to go to the... the dealer room and check out the comic book dealers.
Right.
And I'm going to look for books that may interest me. And I just, when I say that, I'm not looking necessarily for a number one Spider-Man.
Right.
I'm just looking for stuff that's different.
Some cool book that you really want to own because you really enjoy the cover.
That's
or
right.
you enjoy the story behind it.
Yeah, whether it's brand new or whether it's 60 years old.
Or it's missing out of your collection.
Yep.
So second is you go into that comic, old comic area.
Yep.
You score some cool books at great prices, make some good deals,
right.
do some haggling. And then you put them away and you briefcase or knapsack or your whatever. Now, how long does that take? Like, how long does it take?
Yeah, you know what I mean, right?
That could take a day right there.
Well, that's the thing.
Right.
So here's the thing.
It
depends on a couple different things.
Right.
One, it depends on how many dealers are there.
Right.
Who are selling comics.
Right.
It depends on
the comics, the type of comics that you want.
Right. So right. not only are they selling comics, are the comics that I want, and how many of them are there?
Right.
Because chances are there's only going to be a couple of the people that I'm actually interested in.
Right.
At least to the ones that I've gone to in recently in
Canada.
But if
you go to the New York Comic Con,
there
might be 22 dealers you
might
have to
hit up.
Exactly.
I mean, when we used to go to Chicago, there was
like,
lots.
Yeah, it was 40.
Next up, I want to go to see. Now, it's never divided up the way you want it to be. In an ideal world, it would be artists and then dealers and then comic book dealers and then toy dealers and then nostalgia dealers.
Right. Yeah. Because
for me, I'm still interested in that toy stuff. I like seeing it. I don't necessarily want to buy it, but I want to see it. So I want to go take a look at that stuff. I want to go check out the nostalgia stuff. You know, sometimes they have replicas. Sometimes they have like a special room where they'll have all like, maybe something like the Muppets or
something like that.
Or they'll have props from the latest Thor movie or something.
So I
want to go check that stuff out.
Right.
And then once I've exhausted that stuff, then I want to go to the panels.
Okay, so you would participate in a panel.
I have.
But the panel definitely is where you got to look at that schedule and say, oh, the Captain Canuck panel is at 2 o'clock.
Exactly.
Or, hey, Walt's got a panel on about
investing in comics.
I definitely want to go to that.
I definitely want to go to
that
one. That. Yeah.
So you would map that out.
Totally. And I've done that. I've gone to lots of panels.
Now, how many panels would you go to? Like, what would be the map? Like, they're roughly 50 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
They're 45 minutes long because you got to give, they're on the hour schedule, but the one room's got to clear out and your new people got to come in.
Yeah.
So they like to keep the panels to about 45 minute live panel.
Yes.
And then do the 15 for in and outs.
In an ideal world, I'd like to go to one a day.
One a day?
Probably, it might be less than that because I'm too busy looking at other stuff. It might be more than that.
But these are all choices, right?
There's
like, darn, I can hit up more commissions. Darn, I can dig for more books I want. Darn, there's this other panel I want to go to.
And this is the thing. So if you're only at a show, and plus, you know, you got to remember, you may think, wow, I really want to go to this panel. But when you're at that panel, you might be missing out on books that, you know, somebody else is buying.
Right,
Or if you think to yourself, hey, I want to only dig for books, you might not find anything.
Yeah.
And then you missed
the panels you wanted
And then
to
you
go
missed
to.
Out on that panel of Jason Momoa talking about his experience on Aquaman.
Or Linda Carter talking about her stint as Wonder Woman in the 1970s.
Totally.
Which you would have loved to see.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, for sure. You know, and, you know, I've been to a couple panels that I totally... I'm super, super happy that I went to, you know, Julius Schwartz was at one of them. He was, I always refer to him. He was kind of like the Stan Lee, but of DC Comics. You know, he was sort of the spokesperson for a while. He was the one that helped really start the whole, superhero craze again for Showcase 4 and The Flash. And
I noticed on your list, not high on your list, that that's basically, maybe you would have said it next, but I'm going to jump the gun here the whole, and I think cons have gone this way the last 10 years, the whole lineup for a celebrity selfie.
You know what? I think it's fun to see celebrities. I'm not a huge fan of
so that's something you wouldn't do.
Like
Lucy Lawless, hey, but I have to wait 45 minutes to get to her.
Linda Carter, I would probably do it.
Right. So you would.
I would. Have
for the right person.
You know, and for the right person and the right length of time, if there was nobody up in line for William Shatner, and I'm not saying he's not worth it. I'm just saying for myself, I don't want to spend the time because usually it's like a whole other
hour and a half,
whatever.
Yeah,
4 hours maybe.
Right, right.
You know, but I'm a guy that, you know, I waited half an hour to get the signature from James Hong, who played in Big Trouble in Little China. And I don't know if you remember watching Seinfeld when they went to the Chinese restaurant and Seinfeld 4.
He was
that guy. So
I know his brother well.
Yeah, what's his name? Well, Hong.
H-O-N-G.
Oh.
Right. Oh. Right. Yeah.
Anyways.
I forgot where I was going with that.
Yeah.
So, Chris, how about the guys, and I'm on the fence on this, but about the guys that pay the $400 and they go for the breakfast?
Right.
What do you think on that? Like, because you're not really interacting with him, are you?
I don't know.
He's just telling stories.
I've never done it. So okay. Would you ever do it? Would you ever?
I don't know. If I got to sit beside Shatner.
Okay.
Like,
what if you're sitting on a round table with Shatner? Would you go?
Where am I on the other end? He got his glasses on? He's short-sighted. He might not even see me mouthing profanities at him.
Okay, is there anybody that you would pay that for?
I think I'd to sit beside Shatner.
Like Frank Miller?
No.
Okay,
no,
so it would
Shatner,
have to be like a celebrity.
Stan Lee. No, Stan Lee.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's a kind of a celebrity
now.
Yeah,
Bill Shatner.
Yeah, you already said that.
But I wouldn't go to, you know, see Momoa or Ruffalo
or what about like a Todd McFarlane
or
Greg Capullo. Get to have lunch with Greg Capullo.
I don't know who he is.
He's a comic artist. You get to have lunch with the guy that drew Batman's penis.
I don't want him touching my forks or knives or anything.
Pass the wieners.
Hey, buddy, did you wash your hands?
You can have some breakfast sausage.
Yeah, breakfast sausage, right. Okay, that's cool.
In your ideal world, what is it for you? What would you want to do first thing?
Well, like, I'm not an art commission guy, but I think I would try it. I think I what I would do, like, if I was going to the New York Comic Con, I hope to do next year.
Yep.
I honestly, you know, when I thought about this, you know, I would like to get an art piece.
Right.
To remember that trip from.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I would like to pick out a couple of panels I really want to go see.
Yeah.
Right. I would